peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace today. We are very thankful to bring these broadcasts to you, and thankful also if you are a regular listener. Your notes, your letters, your calls all encourage us a great deal, and if you have done that, we want to extend a sincere gratitude to you for your support, your prayer, and thank you. It is a joy to do this each and every week as we look at how abounding God's grace has been to us. And so I want to continue in our study today of Romans chapter 7 that we began yesterday. And there we read in Romans 7:13, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." Then he turns into the present here in verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." What an important section of Scripture. We're working through the rest of this to the end of the chapter. And yesterday I started by outlining some of the different views of Romans chapter 7. The first was, and victorious Christian living is always the goal, but there's a wrong view of victorious Christian living. And here we see it in this idea. We could put it this way. The Romans 7 attitude about sin is all wrong. You keep putting your head in the sand. You keep wallowing over your sin. You're too negative. You're acting defeated. And so you need to move on to the Romans 8 Christian, which is all about victory. Romans 7 is the defeated Christian. Romans 8 is the Christian who's living in life in the Spirit. And so there's that viewpoint here. And I said yesterday, that's a very American reading of Romans 7, because what happens to the message about sin? It's over. There is an avoidance of talking about sin. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, they can't make the correlation. Why bring people low? I need to be uplifted. And this fits the modern self-esteem movement, which is basically, I need to think positive thoughts of myself. Rehearsing how bad my heart is can't be good for me. And so what comes next? Well, we looked at yesterday, formulas. In American Christianity, we are obsessed with formulas for victory, being victorious and happy. Here's how you do it. We're on this never-ending hunt for these things. And that's why, you know, I could write some formulas out and probably make millions on a book. But that's not what Paul is teaching us here. You see, this view brings an end to the discussion about sin. And so people like this, I said yesterday, are usually, you'll find, on this never-ending quest for spiritual experience, and you look at their Christian life, and it's up, and it's down, it's up, and it's down, because they've yet to find the right formula, if you will. Well, this is what they're saying. You need to get out of your rut. You need an upbeat worship experience. You need to rise above all the negative talk. It's degrading. And so we're on this never-ending quest for some new spiritual experience to achieve victory and success. But at the end of the day, my friends, all of this becomes a substitute and a denial of the real struggle that is going on within the Christian. And it provides an easy out rather than dealing with the fact that our lives are often quite out of harmony with the demands. And what then do we do? Ignore that and shove it under the carpet? We've looked at this. This is not honest. There's not a sort of two-stage process as carnal Christianity often presents, this notion of being a carnal Christian. If Christ is your Savior, then He is also the Lord of your life. And that means to put your head in your sand about sin is a far cry from what the Bible presents to us about struggling sinners whom, like David said, my sin is always before your face. Wash me, purge me. It was a lifelong struggle. That's the first view, the carnal Christian view. The second view of Romans 7 is that he's speaking here about a non-believer. The heart of the debate centers on whether Paul is speaking of himself as he is a saved, mature Christian, or is he looking back to the past sometime before his conversion experience and describing his relationship to the law as a Pharisee at that point in his life. The issue surrounds what is a supposed conflict with what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. Remember what he said there, we died to sin. That means that the old man was crucified when Christ died, so that when he died, we died. And there Paul said that you've been set free from sin and now have become a slave of God. So the argument goes something like this. If we're set free, if we're no longer slaves to our sin, then Paul can't be speaking of a Christian in Romans 7, because there he says in verse 14, he's sold under sin. And verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the argument is, how could a Christian go through that? Still be sold under sin and brought into the captivity of it if he's been freed from it and now a slave of righteousness? So many in the history of the church have said, well, then Romans 7 here, Paul is not talking about himself as a mature Christian, but is one still unsaved and under the law and not yet converted. Why is that wrong? Let me just say this today. We've outlined two views now. The first two views are very easy. I think we would rather have them, because at the end of the day, we're not real about our sin. The fact is that God has called us to a lifelong struggle against it, and we're real good escape artists. And it's easy as Americans to cover the reality, being successful and affluent. As one pastor said, sin is so easy to avoid if we are affluent and do not need to worry about having enough to eat or paying the mortgage. And if we can always battle occasional bouts of depression by going out for dinner and taking a vacation. I mean, that's a life of denial. What really is the life that God expects of us? I mean, that's the question, isn't it? That's such an important question as Christians today. Why are these first two interpretations wrong? In Romans 7, we're looking at something, yes, quite different than Romans 6. We always have somewhat of a tension with the way that we see things and the way that God sees things. In Romans 6, remember, Paul was telling us everything about what God has done for us. He's freed us. We have died. We've been raised with Christ. And the whole import of that passage was to make us marvel at the superabounding grace of God that has freed us from sin's tyranny and bondage when we never asked for it. But Romans 7 deals in quite a different way. Romans 7 is now looking at things from the perspective of the sinner. Remember what we considered last week. Paul described his relationship to the law, and there he looked back at his own conversion experience, and he described it for us. Remember what he said in verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So there was a time in my life when I thought everything was fine. My life was so together, I kept the commandments from my youth up. I lived a good and moral life. I honored God. I was blameless. There was no one who could measure up. I had climbed the ladder right to God, but then one day he spoke, meaning I heard his law, and I began to understand the real demands of the law, that it was so much more than just an externalization of things that I thought made me accepted before God. That which was dormant came to life in me when the rays of God's holy law shone down into my heart, and I understood, remember verse 9 in Romans 7, literally means sin came to life in me. All of a sudden, I began to understand what those righteous commandments demanded of me. And I died, he says. Do you hear what he's saying? Notice that. And I died. So I was deceived about my life for years, says Paul. I loved my sin, and the truth of the matter was, no matter how hard I tried to be accepted by God, on my own terms, I never was. So then I discovered that the commandment of God that I thought would bring life, as I tried to keep it, actually brought death. Do you see where he's come? He had hit rock bottom. And in every true conversion, this happens. An overwhelming feeling of the burden of sin and our inability to keep God's law. Well, here's why all the other views of Romans 7 are wrong today. All of a sudden, in verse 14 to the end of the chapter, everything shifts into the present tense. This is huge. He's no longer talking about the past. He's no longer talking about when his eyes were opened to the truth of his sin. Now he's talking about what he is experiencing as a believer in the present. Whatever he's now going to say, he's going to say that this is what has happened and is happening to me, and this is now my relationship to the law now that I've become a Christian. Oh, I'm not under the law as a tutor, but it still serves a very important place in my life. Now as a Christian, since I love the Lord, the law has become much, much my chief delight. But I have a great problem. I live every day at the feet of Christ because as I go on with the Christian life, I am finding myself in a warfare to which this body of sin remains in me, and it wars against this new desire in me to honor God's law because I love him and because he's already saved me. And so here we're presented with the Christian life. You see, I thought I was good. I thought I was alive. But I wasn't. And since I've been converted, now I have this great desire to keep God's law, but I'm realizing every step of the way I can't. I see my heart as God sees it, and all the more I'm turning my face to Christ. I'm learning to live and to love him, to trust in his obedience and his death for me. And knowing that that's where the power lies, I have true joy and comfort. Does that describe your life today? There's a warfare within. And the victory comes in the struggle as my eyes of faith are turned to Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.